You'll find the text in 1 Kings chapter number 18. And while you're turning there, very quickly, I think I'd be amiss to not say that I appreciate what I was born in. As Brother Fletcher's song says it so well, I was born in the fire and the smoke won't do. And stuff like this morning, that doesn't make me nervous. I grew up around that. My grandpa's one of those kind of fellers. And I thank God for it. Appreciate this place. Humbled to be able to stand behind this pulpit with such great men. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 42. The Bible says, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. By the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this subject very quickly this morning. When there seems to be nothing, when there seems to be nothing. Here we find in the text that there's a man by the name of Elijah, and he's on top of Mount Carmel, and he's praying for the rain to come. You may say, why in the world is he praying for rain? Well, very quickly, if you go back to chapter number 17, you find that Elijah's called there, and he goes before King Ahab, and he looks at the king, and he says, God's no longer going to wink at your sin. God's no longer going to just pass by, but rather it will not rain again until I say that it will rain. And so Elijah flees out, and God has him hidden, takes care of him. Everybody probably laughed that day and said, what in the world does this man think? Or what does he think he can do? But after 5 or 6 months of no rain or dew upon the earth, I promise you that nobody was laughing anymore. There wasn't a Walmart down the street. And they find that they have a problem that is consuming. Folks are all of a sudden losing farms. Their cattle's dying. Their children are starving from meal. Everything that they have is affecting their life. And everything is falling apart. And we find that there's a problem that's consuming. There's peers that are critical. Everybody loves Elijah now. But in that time and in that day, everybody wasn't on his side. There was confusion. They didn't understand what was going on. But thirdly, we find there was a perception that is controlling. Can I say this to you? The first two aren't near as bad as the third one. But time he gets to the top of the mountain and he's praying, I don't find in the text where anybody else was praying for the rain anymore. I think they had done given up on believing that it could happen. And Elijah's by himself on the mountain trying to pray for the rain that his people so desperately needed. You say, preacher, what in the world's that have to do with us? Could I say it to you like this? Doesn't that sound a whole lot like America this morning? We're living in a country that has a problem that's consuming, but nobody seems to have the answer. What once used to be a sovereign nation that had the answers, we're falling apart at the seams. People are critical of one another. But what scares me more than anything in our nation and in our churches and the dryness that we seem to see as a whole is the perception that's controlling. You're looking at a young man that thanks God for the heritage. I love the stories from the 50s. I love to go to Camp Zion and just look around and think about all that God's done. But the thing that scares me is when you look at somebody that's been around a while and they tell you one of those stories, and then you hear some statement like this, but I just don't think God can do that anymore. I just don't think that's what God's going to do. Could I say this to you this morning? If I didn't believe that God was still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and what he did in 1950 he could still do today, I'd close my Bible, go get a job somewhere, and give up. But I still believe that God can. It may be dry, it may be dark, but the same God that had enough power then is the same God that has enough power today. He's just looking for somebody that'll believe God. You say, preacher, how do I make it when it seems to be nothing? Two little quick things. First with me, notice that the position of the prayer. 42 at the end, it says he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. The reason he's on top of the mountain, the reason he's in such a position there praying to God is because you know the story, he slew the prophets of Baal. And there Elijah said he heard the sound of the abundance of rain. What drove him to the top of the mountain, what kept him on his knees praying, was the promise he had already heard from God. God said the rain is on the way, it's coming. And so Elijah went to the top of the mountain to pray for what God had already promised. Could I say this to you? The top of the mountain is dry and hot. You'll never make it up there. You'll never stay up there long enough to pray through if you don't already have a promise from God. The old timers used to say, I've already heard that God's going to save my boy. He's done gave me a promise. He's going to touch my grandchild. I've done heard from heaven. I'm just praying and waiting on the answer. You got to have a promise to keep you in that position. That position speaks of travail, Isaiah 66 and 8. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. It speaks of basically taking one hand and reaching towards a holy God in heaven, and taking the other hand and reaching down to folks who cannot or will not pray for themselves. Almost like the daysman, and pulling the two together and standing in the gap for somebody else. Elijah was on the mountain for the people. They had done gave up. They had done quit praying. But the man of God was in the position of prayer, begging for God to come through. Not just the position of the prayer, but there was the persistence in the prayer. Bible says in 43 at the end, he looked at his servant. He got down, he prayed. We all know he was right with God. He just prayed fire down. I think he's okay with the Lord. He's obviously in God's will. He said he heard the sound of the abundance of rain. He gets down and prays. The fire came in 63 words. It was easy. All of a sudden that servant goes out and looks, and you can see for miles. He comes back and says, "Sir, there is nothing." I wonder what Elijah said. It's probably in the white parts, as Brother Lockie would say, but wonder if he looked at the servant and said, "Are you sure?" I mean, the fire had just failed. God told him to pray for the rain. There is nothing. Two times, three times, four times, and five. And all of a sudden we find that Elijah has to keep praying, and he's persistent. But that time number seven came, and God began to move in on the scene, and he comes back and says, "There's a cloud the size of a little man's hand." It probably didn't mean a whole lot to the servant, but to Elijah, I bet he jumped up and leaped for joy, because he's been a man that has been took care of by little things, by one little brook, by one little widow woman, by one little raven, by one little meal in the barrel. He's been operating on that for years. He said that one little cloud's all we need. He said, "If not God, who? If not now, when?" He just stayed with God. Quickly, I'll give you this illustration. I'm done. Thought about Brother Mays Jackson. Used to preach a sermon. Heard it on the radio. Great man of God. He preached about how he's preaching on Matthew 18. Two agreeing on earth. Said a little boy was listening. He come to him after service. Said, "Preacher," said, "you believe what you're preaching?" He said, "Well, bless God. Yeah, if it's in the Bible, I do." Said, "Good. My daddy's an alcoholic. Left my mom when we was little." Said, "He's gone." Said, "But I'm one and you're two, preacher. God's going to save my daddy this week." Make a long story short, Friday night came. No daddy. The boy's disappointed. Brother Mays said he, by his own testimony, went to the hotel discouraged. Asked God why, and it was as though he just said, "I seems to be nothing." About midnight, the phone rang. Preacher said, "Get back to the church." He come through the foyer, and something was going on about like a while ago. Somebody's getting some help. Granny done took off running. Some people lapping the building. He flagged the pastor down and said, "What's going on? I was here this week. This didn't happen." Said, "Preacher, go down front and look." Went down front, and out, there's a big group of men. Out from underneath there crawled that little boy who had been praying. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm one and you're two. And God just saved my daddy." The same God that touched that little boy is the same God that can do it in your life. He's just looking for some people who will believe him and trust him and know that he can still do the impossible. Whatever you're looking for this morning, I'm just a one. Come looking for some twos. God can.